The recent controversial birth of octuplets in California has prompted widespread debate. Critics question if an unwed mother of six without a job should really be having eight more children. Medical experts worry about the ethics of the doctor responsible, but we like to look at things in a more positive light. We view these miraculous bundles of joy as eight more potential listeners to...
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Hey, y'all, this is Jessica Simpson. You know, the other day I bent over to pick up my little dog, and my boyfriend Tony Romo walked behind me and said, "Hoop, hoop, hike." That's when I knew I'd gained too much weight.
Introducing the Jessica Craig Diet Plan.
Jessica Craig is so easy, y'all. Even I can do it.
The secret to Jessica Craig is our patented volumetric confusion menu. We guarantee you'll be so perplexed by our food that you'll actually forget to eat, lose weight, and keep it off.
My favorites are the buffalo wings. Wait, I didn't know buffalo had wings. And the chicken of the sea tuna. Hold it. Now, is it chicken or tuna?
Call Jessica Craig right now and confuse yourself into a new you.
Now when Tony sees me, he won't think I'm one of his linemen. He'll think I'm one of his second basemen. Thanks, Jessica Craig.
A CEO lays off 5,000 workers to impress his girlfriend. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. In a casual display of power today, CEO Carlton Lutz told his new girlfriend of his decision to lay off 5,000 workers just to prove that he can. Despite his company's record-breaking profits, Lutz believes letting go of 50% of his workforce could well make the right impression on his attractive new lover.
I found that ladies are really turned on by a man who can destroy the hopes and dreams of loyal employees.
At the time of this report, Lutz's girlfriend is holding out for an offer from General Motors CEO Rick Wagoner to revoke over 950,000 pensions pending the removal of her blouse. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em. And you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right back.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done? Yeah.
So the next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool, I mean Winston.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to February 4th. This is our first year anniversary, Susie.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Can you believe on this day we launched the station? It was called BBS Talk Radio at the time. And
what did BBS stand for?
I don't know. We just sort of were affiliated with another station, so we sort of took on the name. But it stood for Broadcasting and Blogging Service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But at any rate, it had no meaning to us other than, you know, we were affiliated with someone else. But then it was how many months later? In June, we launched as LA Talk Radio.
Oh.
And then you came along a couple months later, and the rest is history. And
yes,
now you're fucking leaving.
Well, you know what? I might not be able to leave if I can't get my car sold and everything else taken care of in a timely fashion.
You will. You will.
I don't know.
So just plan to leave when you're done with all your business here.
I can't. I've got to get there by a certain date to start school.
You do?
Yes.
And when is that?
Well, that day is February 16th that orientation starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get there a couple days later because classes don't commence until the 23rd of February.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm trying to get everything done, and it's like time is running out.
Yeah, it's pushing it a little bit.
It's pushing
and,
it a
lot. And, you know, I mean,
lot.
To sell a car, especially today, you know, when people money's tight and shit.
I know. If anyone wants to buy my car, it comes complete with my own pussy juice on the driver's
there
seat.
There you go. Shit. They'll buy just for that.
I should jack the price up for that alone.
There you go, you know. Yeah, put it up on eBay, you know. Susie from Sam and Susie in the Morning is selling her car filled with pussy juice.
I could probably make a lot of money off of that.
Yes,
damn.
You could.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but if not, I want to tell you it again. I broke the seat in my car one day. Because I had a flight, I was going somewhere, I forget where, but I always miss planes. And so my boyfriend at the time lived in Vancouver, and he was like, I was on the phone with him because I was at a bar and I was really drunk, and it was 3 a.m. And he was like, Susie, you're going to miss your plane. You've got to be at the airport in like 3 hours. He's like, you need to get to the airport now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, I'll get to the airport now. And he's like, sleep in the airport. And I'm like, okay. So I thought he meant sleep in my car. So I bring my vibrator and I pack my bags and I drunkenly drive to the airport. I park in long-term parking and I decide, all right, I've got like 3 hours now. What am I going to do? I guess I'll masturbate. So I like try and get my seat back, but it won't go back. And so I grab the handle and I go, and the whole seat breaks. And so now like it's swaying forward and backward and it won't stay locked into position.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn it. But so
normal reaction. What do I do with 3 hours? I masturbate in the
exactly,
car.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I woke up the next day and the seat was broken in my car. I was laying back. My underwear were on the seat next to me. My legs were spread. The windows were completely steamed and I had missed the plane. If someone had like been able
to
like,
it took you more than 3 hours to masturbate?
No, I masturbated and then passed out.
Oh, I
like
see.
Like a typical guy. But
that's
so
funny.
If anyone had walked by and like had seen like me with my legs, like, you know, no underwear, it would have looked like I was raped and
yes,
killed.
Yes.
I guess I did rape and kill, rape myself on some level that night.
Yeah.
But you don't even know how embarrassing it was, like bringing the car to the dealership. There's like a white cum stain on the seat. And
yeah.
I'm like, can you fix the seat? And they're like, what happened? How'd you manage to break the seat?
Maybe you can throw in the vibrator with the car too when they buy it.
I'm already throwing in the roof racks, my pink roof racks, and the GPS and the radar detector.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe even the baby seat if they're lucky. No, I'm just kidding.
And how much are you asking for it if people want to get it?
Well, the Blue Book value is $15,500.
Uh-huh.
So I'll take anything from there down till... till like 11,000.
Yeah.
That way I can make
she'll
a little bit of money.
She'll take 1,100 too.
I owe 9,500 on it.
You do?
So I need to at least pay that off.
Yeah.
And hopefully make something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's unusual though. I mean, you can't really make money on selling a car, you know? But it sounds like, I mean, from the numbers you've given me that you would.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that they could really take money off of for the car is there's a little bit of superficial damage in the back bumper.
Yeah.
So I don't mind taking off.
Believe me, they'll fucking take off for any little scratch, you know?
Well, that's the only place that's really scratched in the car.
Yeah.
From, you know,
they'll find shit in there, you know? But yeah, you're not taking it back to the dealer, you know, so.
Well, I might actually try. You know what would be ideal is if I can find a dealer that, you know, has a Mini Cooper dealership here and in Australia. That way I could trade it in here and then just pick up a new one there.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't that be perfect? Why are you laughing?
I don't think it works like that.
Well,
who the fuck's going to own a dealership here and one in Australia?
Maybe.
And
Mini,
how are they related
maybe
anyway?
Mini Cooper has like some big corporate office that owns like a couple different places around the world.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just sell it here to a private party and then get a new one there.
Well, I'm trying, but apparently in this economy, no one has any money.
No, and you know what? Even normally, I mean, it's hard to sell a car in a couple weeks, you know? Sometimes
really?
It takes longer. It depends, you know? Do you put ads everywhere?
On
Craigslist.
Craigslist,
yeah.
Craigslist, yeah.
Yeah.
Craigslist, and I have a
on Facebook,
a
too. You
I
let
said I have a fuckle phone call. A couple phone calls.
Speaking of Craigslist.
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, again, so fucking frustrated with this thing. And it happens to me occasionally when I put ads there. And I put up an ad for a co-host, right? For a new co-host. And the fucking thing doesn't even last there for 10 minutes and they flag the fucker down and remove it.
Why?
Because, you see, Craigslist, they don't take ads down. They just let other people flag it if they don't like it.
What?
So what happens is, You know, so you might think, okay, they think I'm spamming or something.
Okay.
You know? But the point is, there are ads there that are spamming and they stay there.
I know.
So, yeah, but every time I fucking put an ad up, you know, yesterday I got lucky because that person, and I'll tell you in a moment how they flag it, but that person responsible for it probably went out to lunch or something, so my ad stayed there for a while. I got a few responses, but since then, it's like I put it up, bam, it's flagged. And it's
Have you even, done it again?
Yeah, I keep posting it, and they keep removing it.
Why? What are you putting in this freaking ad?
Well, I mean, just an ad for a fucking, you know, co-host on the radio. I mean, what the fuck? I'm telling you. So there's nothing about that ad that needs to be flagged. But I'll tell you something. There are people, and I've learned this because I've done this with other sections of Craigslist and mm-hmm. stuff. There are people, whether it's competitors, whether it's people that don't like you, they have some kind of a
issue.
Thing against you, you an issue, anything. They
you
must,
think everyone's against you.
They must
you.
Have their own fucking issue. No, but what do you mean?
You think the world is against you, Sam?
Well, my fucking ads keep getting taken down. You know, and obviously this is not like a lot of people because, you know, most people don't have time for this bullshit, you know?
I know.
And besides, how many people can really see the ad in less than 10 minutes, you know, for so many people to decide, okay, we're going to flag this.
Yeah.
Because they, I would imagine, they don't just take it down from one or two flaggings.
If your innocent little ads are flagged, I mean, the pictures I just posted on Facebook should be flagged.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, but your friends like the pictures, so nobody's going to have them flagged, you know.
I know.
But this is like so fucking frustrating, you know. If I caught that motherfucker, I would cut the fucking fingers off. I'm telling you.
Sam!
So they could not do another thing again, another damage, because some people are just like fucking pests that have to destroy everything that other people build.
You know what? I don't understand why, like, computer hackers, like, they really kind of piss me off. I really kind of get agitated about it. Like, all the shit that I've been posting on Craigslist to sell, you know, I've gotten a couple legit responses to things, and that's fine, that's cool. But then a whole bunch of other things, and I've had this in the past when I've tried to sell anything, there's this weird, I don't know what it is, like, but they create this message, and they send, like, mass messages, mass responses to people.
Uh-huh.
I know, I was looking for a roommate or something once upon a time. When you get these things like from England or from some weird country.
Yes, usually Africa and shit.
I can't say weird if it's my boyfriend's from England.
Yeah.
But then you get this weird, like, long-winded response back that's in improper, you know, not proper grammar. They spell everything wrong. And then they right. always talk in the exact same way. They're like, please, I would like to take, you know, I would like to be your roommate. Please, please give me your address and your banking account number, and I will get you the money, like, as soon as possible. Right. But, I mean, they phrase it in the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably the same people, or if not.
But who is doing that, and why would they do that?
Well, it must work if they keep doing it, you know? And the thing is, some people always fall for this shit. That's what I'm saying. You know, some people, I mean, Susie, there's a lot of stupid people in the world.
Really?
You know? There's a lot of people in the world, period, okay? But there's a lot of stupid ones, too, and they fall for this.
Speaking of a lot of people in the world, I was watching the news at work last night, and apparently 90,000 sex offenders have been removed from MySpace yesterday.
Really?
90,000.
Wow.
Sex offenders.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez, that's a lot
like,
of fucking people.
Like, that's a fucking lot of people.
Yeah.
90,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dirty old
bastards
out there.
So how did people figure... I mean, how did MySpace figure it out?
I don't know. They didn't really go into, like, the logistics of everything, but... Yeah. But
did they send out a message to everyone, or how did you find out?
I saw it on the news.
Oh, I see.
But, I mean, apparently they have, like, an age cap, and you can't be over a certain age, and looking at certain people's profiles and things like that, and now they have all these different safeguards in place.
Really?
Yeah. But that's just, like, creepy.
It really is.
Really creepy.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, there's all kinds out there, you know?
Mm.
It really is. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we'll put it out there that if you'd like to be a co-host and take Susie's seat.
If you think you could fill these boots.
Yes. Then contact me, please.
At sam@latalkradio.com.
I don't know what I'm going to do once you're gone, and I still haven't found anyone. You know, I'm not going to do it alone again. You know, I used to. But you know what I was thinking? Should we bring some candidates into here? I mean, you brought it up actually yesterday, right?
Yes.
You want to be part of the selection process?
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring them on, you know, as guests and stuff.
Put them in the hot seat.
Yeah.
And see what they can take. I don't know. Sometimes it's. I also think it's like less threatening if you have like if you're interviewing like a female person.
Right.
Sometimes it's less threatening if you have another girl in the room as well. And that way, this person, you know, I mean, I know you told me to look at the archives and listen to the show before I even came in for my interview. Uh-huh. I never listened to the fucking archives.
Yeah.
I didn't have time for that. I was busy. I was jet setting. So I came in here having no idea what the show was about, idea what the hell I was going to talk about, no idea if I could even say fuck, sex, cunt, whatever.
But you came in as a guest and you figured it out pretty quick, you know?
I mean, I was just myself.
Yeah.
You were so funny. I knew walking into this job that I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this. I was like, I was made for this.
You really were.
And then you were funny because you were like all skeptical and apprehensive and you're like, well, is she real? Is she legit? Like, is she going to disappear? Yeah. Is she going to come back? And then like, oh, you were just funny.
Yeah.
Because you were just like, you're like, we have to talk on the phone. And you were like, we've got to figure out like if this is going to work.
Well, just like most people, you know, they can't believe you're real, that you're for real.
Oh, man. The people I was meeting in Peru, they didn't really believe I was real either. They're like, everything out of your mouth has to be a lie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to talk anymore.
Yeah.
Ever again. Because no one believes anything I say anyway.
Well,
so
now that you're moving in, talk to the fucking kangaroos because nobody's going to hear you.
Aw, the kangaroos. Oh. They're so cute. When I got to hold the koala, I went up to this place and you actually can go and you could feed the kangaroos and the wallabies. You get like, you know, at the zoo, you put a quarter in, they give you the food.
Yeah.
You just have like a whole feed bucket here and you just pick it up and they come hopping over. And they just go nom, nom, nom out of your hand. It's so cute.
That's nice.
They've got their babies in their pouches.
Yeah.
Oh, I want a baby in my pouch. not yet. Just kidding.
Do they have game reserves there, like in Africa?
I'm sure they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of wildlife there.
Yes. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. See, I didn't drink last night, and now I'm all kind of like discombobulated.
Really?
Yes.
You're not used to it, huh?
No. I went home and read Twilight.
Did you?
Yes.
The whole thing?
No, I'm like 100 pages short of finishing it.
Oh, really? So you read fast?
I'm a very fast reader.
Really?
Yes.
You're fortunate.
Why?
Did you have to learn that, or was that pretty much natural?
Nope. Yeah. Everything I do in my life is fast.
Yeah.
I couldn't slow down if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, most people, I mean, they teach us how to read one word at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what most people do, including myself. So
really?
I love to read, but it takes me forever, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend yesterday. I had to fax him some paperwork. And he was like, your handwriting is atrocious. He's like, it's fucking awful. And I was like, I know. I was like, what are you trying to say? Like, I know it's awful. There's nothing I could do about it at this point in time. It's like fully developed.
Yeah.
And that's my handwriting. But he's like, you're faxing official documents to the college you're going to attend, to the university, and you hand wrote this shit. And then you scribbled off your name when you were supposed to write your father's name. And I just like scribbled it off and wrote on top. And then like, oops, I wrote on the wrong line here and scribbled off and wrote again here. He's like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Let me show you a sample of my handwriting.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking the other day, though, is that I have not been writing for fucking years. Oh, wow. This is hard to read, Susie. Wow. But look, I imagine in a journal, you know, you kind of write fast, right?
That's the exact same way I write in, like, everything.
Yeah. Much longer I will be waiting here. My fake Cartier watch that I bought in New York City on Canal Street with Anna broke. And I really, really want a cig. I love this.
No, the fucking airport in Fiji. Like, you know, I get to Fiji and the freaking smoking lounge is shut down.
Yeah.
So pissed off. Then they keep you there for like 5 hours. Like, there's no smoking lounge. You can't leave the airport. I'm like,
that sucks.
But yeah, so I bought a fucking fake car. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah you did.
And it burned me. Look.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
It's awful. I look like I tried to self-mutilate myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking that I hardly ever write anymore. You know, with computers and shit. You know, it's like you don't write. The only thing I still write is a check. You know, and that's it.
That's awful.
I don't even write notes. You know, I put them in my phone or something, you know.
It really is kind of weird.
Yeah. So I forgot how to write.
I apparently forgot how to write as
well. My handwriting definitely is not what... it doesn't look like it used to. You know?
Well, I can't even write in cursive if I wanted to.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hold the pen like so funny. Seriously, it's like...
Yeah. Oh, you hold the pen like that?
Like that.
I hate when people hold it like that.
Why? Because, why do you care how a person holds a pen?
You're taught the wrong way. Because it doesn't... I don't know.
No, I was taught the right way. I was in Catholic school. They tried to like hold me back in kindergarten because I refused to write in the lines and I refused to trace the letters the way they were supposed to be done. And they said like I wasn't following directions and because I was so adamant about doing it my way.
Yeah.
My mom was like, you can't hold her back because she's not like... You know, she's still writing.
Yeah.
You know, I was writing everything fine. It was just not pretty.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems like I should be the doctor in the family with this scrawl, and my sister with perfect, perfect handwriting.
Really? That
should be me.
Yeah. Well, you're not the same. We already know that.
Yes. What day is it today?
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Because I want to call my sister one of these days and have her on the show.
Yeah, we should.
But she's really busy. She's flying back from Peru today, and then...
Oh, so she stayed a couple more days, huh?
Yeah, she had to go back to work on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh.
But, yeah, I really want to have her on the show because she could probably give you some interesting insight.
Into what? Into Susie?
Into...
Like we don't have enough already.
Well, no, I'm telling you, she's probably got the best insight
as
to what has created Susie.
I'm sure. Have you always been close?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
Definitely, definitely not. She was so mean to me when I was little.
Really?
So mean. All I wanted to do was like play with my big sister and have her be my friend.
Uh-huh.
But no, she never would. So, well, I'll give you two little instances. So when we were little, my mom is a piano teacher, and she had these stickers in the piano bench. And you know I'm a bad liar, so when I lie, my face gets red and flushed. But sometimes if I'm accused of something, like I automatically just have like this internalized guilt, and I automatically just feel guilty even though I'm not.
Uh-huh.
Like to this day, I walk into a liquor store and I feel guilty. I feel like they're going to think I'm underage and that it's a fake ID.
Yeah.
Like I'm 26 years old. Like I've been buying alcohol for like 10 years with fake IDs and real IDs, but I just feel guilty. I don't... What?
I don't know why you would.
I don't know why either, but I'm just telling you, I do.
Yeah.
Like, I blush.
It must stay with you when you're young, you know?
Yes.
And then it just stays with you.
But so my mom, my sister, like, stole the stickers that my mom would put on, like, her students' music if they played it well.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom said, Mimi and Susie, you come into this room right now. So we both go in. My mom's like, Susie, did you steal the stickers? And I said, no, Mama. Mimi, did you steal the stickers? And Mimi says, no, Mama. I get thrown over the piano bench and spanked. Mimi gets let off.
Really?
20 years later, okay, just 2 years ago, Mimi and I were out drinking at like some ski resort somewhere, and she's like, I stole the fucking stickers. I was like, what are you talking about?
You didn't know.
And she was like, the stickers you got spanked for when you were four. I stole them. And I laughed as I watched you get spanked. And I was like, you fucking bitch.
Yeah. I know, siblings can be mean.
And then one more story, and then we'll get off this. But so then she sucked her thumbs when she was little, and my parents were worried that her teeth were gonna, you know, be all buck tooth and whatever. So they brought her to the doctor, and the doctor gave her this thumb stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think I might have told you this before. I don't know.
No.
But so you paint it on the thumbs before the kid goes to sleep, and this, like, when you put it in your mouth, if you put your thumb.
Oh,
in,
we talked about that.
It's so bad, and it burns and sets your mouth on fire.
Yeah.
She called me into her bed and was like, "Susie, do you want to play baby and mama?" I'm like, "Yeah, I would love to play baby and mama. Babies always suck their mommy's thumbs." Wham! Shoves it in my mouth. Bloody murder.
So it burns?
Yeah.
Really?
Catches your whole mouth on fire.
Because the way I stopped biting my nails is they had some, like, this nail polish-like that was bitter, you know, and I'd put it in my mouth, and it was bitter, so you couldn't really
put
do it.
Put it in my mouth.
Yeah. So
I
it actually worked for me, you know?
If you would just eat me out.
What? Do you know some people that are grown that still bite their nails?
Yes, it's disgusting.
Isn't that disgusting? No.
Especially because they don't stop biting it. Like, I keep my nails very short.
Right.
But some people, they bite all the way down to, like, the middle of the nail.
Right.
And then the finger, like, swells over the top. And then they still bite it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ow.
Yeah.
I can't even look at people's nails that do that.
I know. It's kind of curious for people not to shed that habit, you know, once they're older.
But then again, it's a habit. Have you shed your smoking habit?
No, I have not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a habit. All right, so I wanted to mention, what do you think of the octuplets?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I just asked you what you think of that.
Okay. I haven't had time to think about it, you know, but I do think it's a bit excessive.
A bit?
You know, nobody needs fucking eight kids.
She has 14 now.
Wow. So, no, this obviously happened because she went through...
fertility treatments.
Right. So she had already six kids, and then she went through this fertility...
She has two twins, and then she's got, like, that are 2 years old. Two-year-olds.
Right.
Then she's got, like, a four, a six, a seven, and a something-year-old. I think just, like, she's got six kids. And then no doctor in their right mind in the United States would actually do that fertility treatment here, so she went to Mexico, had
it
done.
Okay.
Came back here.
Uh-huh.
She only thought she was pregnant with seven kids, and when they did the cesarean and removed... eight. They're like, oh, shit, there's another one
in there.
It
sounds like they come out like little puppies. I mean, how big are they? Did they all survive?
They all survived,
really?
As far as I know, as of last night.
What the fuck, man? They must be so small.
But she's a single mom. She doesn't have a father for
a
any of her
mom.
Kids.
Oh, very
and
nice.
And she lives with her parents.
Yeah.
And now she's trying to sell the rights to her book about her experience for $2 million and try and get the state to pay for her kids.
Yeah.
I think that is completely unethical and fucked up. Yeah. You should not be going and having fertility treatments to have children that you can't already support on your own.
No. I mean, that goes without saying, you know?
Yeah.
And they would even allow this.
I know.
You know?
So,
but what are you going to do? You know, I mean, once she's pregnant, what are you going to do? You know, you gotta have the kids. But maybe they should not let her retain
all
of them.
She's certifiably insane.
Yeah.
I mean, what is how?
So you're saying they should take away the kids?
They should take away the kids. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I think they should just take her and put her away.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, no one wants to have children separated, you know what I mean, and put in like foster homes. And I doubt anyone in their right mind would take eight babies.
But obviously she's insane. She went out of her way to get pregnant.
Really, really pregnant. And then as soon as the doctors in the States found out that she was carrying multiple babies, they were like, all right, well, it's not healthy or safe for you to be carrying this many babies to term or trying to. It's not healthy for you or the kids because the kids can have all kinds of developmental disabilities.
Right.
And learn, you know, like everything.
Yeah. How can anybody fucking raise eight kids plus six? I mean, just the eight, you know?
How many nipples do you freaking have?
Yeah,
you
what
know?
The fuck?
What the fuck is right? How are they going to feed these kids, like, all at once?
Wow. I can't imagine they weigh more than, like, a pound each.
I know.
You know, I mean, normal baby comes out, what, 9 pounds,
yes.
8, 9 pounds,
yes.
Right?
Hopefully, if it's healthy.
Yeah,
and
so
good.
You take that 9 pounds, let's say even 10, divided by 8, you know, that's a pound and something.
These poor kids. Change. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It just absolutely boggles my mind. She needs to be put in jail. For child abuse.
Now, what are they saying? Are they going to let her keep the kids?
Well, people are kind of like split, you know. People are fascinated in this day and age with like multiple births and like kids like, you know, growing. And, you know, I don't know, back in the day, like when the lady had like 7 or 6 or 5 kids or whatever, you know, it's all over the news.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So people are just kind of split. Like she's getting a lot of donations and flowers and food and formula and diapers are being delivered to her door. But at the same time, other people are like, we want to take the kids away.
Yeah, they're going to take them away. There's
you think
no
so?
Way. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it in California, do you know?
I think it's in Whittier.
So, is Whittier in California?
Yeah, I think it is in California. Yeah, Whittier is not too far from here.
I think I might have applied to a college there once upon a time. I don't remember. Where haven't I applied to college?
Yeah, I don't think it's the nicest area, but what do I know? I never went there.
Me either.
You know, it's funny. You live in LA and then you don't know anything that's going around. You
nothing.
Know? Yeah.
I know nothing about
it. It's all these little towns, you know, that nobody cares about.
I know. Well, except the poor people that live there.
Yeah, I suppose.
Someone cares about them.
Yeah. So now tell me, okay, so you're going to get to Australia, right?
Hopefully.
Now, is the school in the same place where your boyfriend lives?
Yes.
Okay. And how many students go to that school?
Not very many.
No?
Yes, it's very small.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of, I don't know. It doesn't sound like a fucking university to me.
Well, it is. There are about 2,000 students.
2,000 students.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody in the world recognize a degree from that?
Absolutely. It's accredited, and it's actually one of the top 400 universities in the world.
Nah.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful school.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
I'm sure no one's ever heard of it.
Actually, I tell my sister, and she's like, what school are you going to in Australia? James Cook? And I was like, you know? She's like, oh, my God, everyone knows James Cook University.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
well,
a very
I'll,
good
I'll
school.
Eat my words, then.
Eat them.
Yes.
Nom, nom. But, yes, that was another thing that my dad's girlfriend was like, you got to make sure it's accredited. And Chase said the same thing, and that was the first thing I went and looked at, and it's accredited. I wouldn't be able to get federal student loans from the United States if it were not recognized.
Right.
Over here.
So you'll still get loans from here?
Yep.
To go there?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
What the fuck is that? I mean, this is taxpayer money.
Well, think about
for someone who's going to another country to learn.
But I'm going to be paying it back.
Yeah.
How is it really taxpayer money?
It is. Who do you think pays for this?
I'm paying for it.
It's not like a grant or anything, right? Well, it's loans.
I'm paying it back, so I'm paying for it.
Yes.
Yes.
But what if you don't? Who fronted you the money?
Well, I will pay it back.
Yeah. Okay.
I will.
We'll leave it at that.
Fuck off. Keep laughing over there.
Yeah, being married to a scuba diver. That's how you'll pay it back.
Yes. Well, no, I'll have my own job as like a child psychologist at the time, so then I'll be making a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are enough children there to keep you
plenty
busy?
Plenty of children.
Now, yes. How big is this place you're going to live in?
Really, really tiny. Like, there are two roads.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
I won't need my GPS
anymore. You're really going to obscurity, man.
I know. Yeah. What am I going to do with myself?
You see, I don't think... Susie, let me tell you something, okay? I do not see... I mean, there's a lot of people that decide to settle down.
Yes.
I do not see Susie at 26 settling down with a husband and kids, okay? And going into obscurity. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to last.
Okay.
Now, that's not because I wish it upon you. I just think you're not that type of a person, at least not at this point in your life.
Well, Daniel and I have decided we're not getting married and we're not having children.
Okay.
At least not for a long time.
Right.
So we're just going to try and see if our relationship works. We'll probably just have a lot of sex and I'll do a lot of studying.
That makes a lot of sense, yes.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
And scuba diving and hiking and, like, you know, did I tell you about the, what is it called? It's like wakeboarding and like snowboarding, like on this little lake thing.
Uh-huh.
Only there's a huge like cable boarding. That's what it's called.
Uh-huh.
I think. And then like the cable comes and you like wait and the lift attendant kind of like gives you the little handle and then like it pulls you and you're like, ah, you go flying around the thing like on your kneeboard or on your wakeboard or whatever you're doing.
Sounds
and go over
like
all the
fun.
Jumps.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. I ate shit twice before I finally like managed to hold on for dear life.
Really?
It was really hard. It was really, really hard.
Yeah, you see, you're into those extreme sports and everything. You
and
know,
there's a bungee jumping place right next to my school.
Yeah. See, you need the big city.
For $100,
you
I
need
can
the
get
bars. You need all the things
there
that are
bars
happening
here.
In the city. There, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
What did I say?
You said here.
Oh, I meant there. Yeah. Here or there.
Yeah, you already feel like home there.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It's here.
Well, I'm just envisioning it in my mind. And there are all these frogs running around. They're so cute.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so for the frogs, for sex.
Yes.
For school. Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
That makes sense.
You don't agree with anything I just said.
No, I just don't think it's the right step for you. But at the same time, you know, do what you have to do.
Okay,
and
hold
really,
on,
I mean,
on,
I'm being objective. Well, I can't be objective because I care about you. But it's not about the show, really. I want you to understand.
Okay. Well, you and TJ and everyone, you're like, oh, Susie, you need to slow down. You're going to kill yourself. Oh, my God, you're drunk driving and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
If I'm in, like, a one-road town with, like, only one bar where I could walk to this freaking bar, walk to my school, you know what I mean? Like, I will have no choice but to really slow down.
That's true. But can you live in a place where you have no choice? That's the question.
Yes.
You like to be free.
I will be very free there.
Yeah. With
yes.
two fucking roads.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff you're not going to have there.
I know.
Yeah.
I won't have anything to spend money on. It'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I wish you all the best. You know, I really do. You know, maybe you'll come visit us in a few years with three kids and
oh my God, can you imagine?
A loving husband and everything. You'll be speaking like Australian.
Oh my God. So tell me about your Australian person that responded to your ad.
Well, I can't really get into it. I don't know much about it. But
why?
Maybe we'll invite her in.
I think we should.
Yeah, because, I mean, I haven't even responded to her, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I just brought it up to you. You know, people probably don't know what we're talking about. But I got another response from an Australian. And I'm going, what is it with those Australians? You know, my first co-host was Australian, you know. And it's ironic also because February 4th is when we started and February 3rd is pretty much when you said you're leaving, you know.
Aww.
So it's kind of like, no, but so the first one was Australian. She decided to go back to Australia. Now you're going to Australia, not even being an Australian. And now I'm getting another one. So I don't know about that, Susie. I haven't had that great luck with it.
It's a sign.
Yeah. No, but you see, I should look on the positive side and to think of the times that we did do the show, whether it is with you or it was with the previous one. You know, I mean, we did have great time, you know, and we have had great times with you.
I still want to listen to your other shows. Are they archived anywhere?
Yeah, you go to my page and there's a little link that says Archives of the Sam and Manu Show.
Okay.
You know, and it wasn't in the morning. It was just the Sam and Manu Show. But yeah, you should listen to it sometime.
You know? I will.
And also on my page, you'll see the interview that you came in for.
Oh.
Yeah, before we started.
I think that's the one my mom listened to, and that's why she forever hates me now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool show because, you know, you listen to it and like you reveal yourself for the first time. And I'm like, wow, you know, that seemed like so like blew my mind. And now it's like so normal, you know, for you to say these things and to tell us of all these crazy stories.
So now you're bored of me?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm ready for a new one.
It is time for me to move on.
I'm ready for a new
one. You're sick of me already.
No, I wouldn't say sick of you. No,
good.
But no, I'm trying to look at it from the positive side, you know. And yes, this was good. It lasted. It was nice, you know. 6 months. That's not bad. That's a lot of shows.
That's the longest I've ever stayed anywhere.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows we put under our belt. I know.
Seriously.
I know.
You're like the longest boyfriend I've ever had.
I know. I know. Sometimes I just wonder, is she going to come in today? But the one thing I have to admit is you love the show. You know,
I always came in.
You're committed, yeah.
I always came in. Yeah. You'll have to give me that.
I do. I give you a lot of credit.
And I was only late twice.
Yeah?
Yep.
That's all? Okay, that's pretty good.
I know.
Yeah. It is for you, yeah.
No, I pride myself on being pretty punctual for the most part.
Yeah?
Yes. Even though I'm kind of wild and crazy and whatever, like, if I say I'm going to be there, I will be there.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I hate keeping people waiting, you know?
I know.
Anyway, let's take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
Bruce Johnson is a real GEICO customer, not an actor. So to tell Bruce's story, we hired a real actor, The Dark Knight's Christian Bale.
I was driving to work when I lost control of my car and rear-ended someone.
Oh, good for you! And how was it? I hope it was good, because it's useless now, isn't it?
I didn't mean to do it. It just happened so fast, and I told the other driver I was sorry.
No, don't just be sorry. Think for one second. The are you doing?
So I called GEICO, and they sent someone right out to take care of me and the guy I hit.
I'm gonna kick your ass. You know, shut up for a second, all right?
GEICO. Real service, real savings, really angry celebrities.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally. You're unbelievable, man. You're unbelievable.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Felt high. are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
All right, and we're back. Sorry for the dead air there.
Did you close the
we
door?
Took a cigarette. We took a cigarette break that took a little too long, and we apologize for the inconvenience.
Sorry, we forgot about you, party people.
Yes, but we do have our guests in the studio. Good morning, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hello. You know the deal about the microphone here. Loosen it up here.
Stick it in your
and
face.
Then you can fix it a little bit. Yeah, I'll lower it. So it doesn't make so much noise. Good morning, Candace.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. We have Candace Kita in the studio, and you're an LA Talk Radio host.
Mm-hmm.
And we have your co-host, Doug.
Yeah.
Good morning, Doug.
Stuart.
You're all dressed up and ready to go. You know what I just found out about Doug? That he's a minister, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Universal
what do you do?
Church.
Yeah? What do you do there?
He marries people.
I marry people.
Really?
I also can make you a saint.
Really?
I want to be a saint.
Okay. Yeah, I have that power. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. All you have.
Saint Susie.
Saint Susie.
But she's too far gone. There's no way with her.
Excuse me.
Well, I can cast out demons.
Yeah.
I can cast out demons.
Ooh, so you help.
So he does. You do exorcism too.
Absolutely.
Wow. Have
Wait,
you
are
done
you
one
kidding?
Before?
I haven't yet. I hope to, though, in the future. That was one of my goals for 2009.
Yeah, and what kind of training do you get on that?
Wait, is he being serious?
No, he is a minister. He really
But no, is.
Is
he serious about the exorcisms?
Absolutely. I can do that.
No way.
He wants to do one. He hasn't done one yet.
So,
how do you know how to do one? You went through training for that?
You know, they send you a little plaque and a little piece of paper that says you have the ability to do it. Come on, it's a universal life church. It's universal life
it's
church.
It's exorcism for dummies.
But they do. Yeah. They do send you this thing called Minister in a Box.
Uh-huh.
And it's like all these things that show you how to baptize, how to make someone a saint.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, our own Johnny Dam is actually the Reverend Johnny Dam, and he got it for $15 online.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
What is his show about?
He talks about anything and everything. You know, it's like fall in love with the First Amendment all over again type of thing. See, that's his plaque right over here, the damage report.
Oh, right behind
so,
us, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he's a reverend.
So you got two reverends.
I want to be a reverend. Can girls be reverends?
You,
a reverend?
Yes. As long as you wear the right headdress. Girls have to wear a special reverend headdress.
And cute outfits.
Even in Christianity, too?
Absolutely.
Really?
Wait, can they have sex?
That.
Okay.
All right.
Now I'm ashamed.
No, I'm serious. I want to know.
Of course, he's not a priest. Married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Only the priests are the ones who are...
Have to be celibate.
Oh, the Catholic priests.
Supposed to be celibate.
Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Well, so Candace, Susie, don't you think she's beautiful?
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she's hot. Thank you, the word is hot.
She is hot, and she's got a show called?
It's called Hottie Help.
Hottie Help. And it's on Sundays at 2.
Yeah, from 2 to 3 p.m.
on our station here.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, Doug, who is here, Doug Stewart is my co-host, and it's Hottie Help with Candace Kita. And we bring on a celebrity guest every single week and talk about current topics related to women's safety issues.
Right. But not just any celebrity.
Exactly. Very hot ones.
Women's.
Yeah. It is Hottie Help after all.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, like a campus safety, surfing the internet, dating, online dating, travel, home safety, work safety, harassment. We talk about all the great issues that we need to talk about.
And then we do safety through my eyes. Like, is it safe to hit on this girl? Is it safe to get her phone number? Is it safe to harass her?
Yeah.
Susie needs some big lessons.
I need
in
help
that
in
area.
Like all of those areas.
Yeah, in all those areas.
You should listen on Sundays.
I will. I totally will.
And you can also call in, too.
Yeah, but Susie definitely is out there. You know, and there's not a lot of safety issues with Susie.
Well, the thing about me is, like, I'm very, very, very friendly. And so, like, I just got back from Peru yesterday.
Oh, awesome.
I was just there for a long weekend, and, like, this is just an example.
Wait, wait. Just a long weekend in Peru?
Yeah.
Like, what am I?
How many days in Peru?
3.5.
How long did it take to get down there?
30 hours round trip.
Are you kidding? What did you see in 3 days?
I saw Miraflores in Lima, and then I went to Cusco, and then went to a whole bunch of different Incan ruins, and then I went up to Machu Picchu.
Oh my God.
And then, can you imagine awesome. Doing all that in
Did
2.5 days?
Did you sleep at
all?
You know,
Santa Barbara is just up the road.
What is the elevation up there? Isn't it really high?
It's like, well, Machu Picchu actually isn't. Cusco is higher than Machu Picchu. Cusco is like 14,000 feet. So my sister, who was there, actually got ridiculous altitude sickness. It was so miserable. I felt so badly. And she's a doctor, so she was taking all the prescribed, you know, anti-altitude drugs. And I show up, and I'm like, whatever, I'm going to drink the water. I'm going to do this. Next thing you know, she's, like, dying.
Oh,
and I'm absolutely fine.
Crazy. Don't they have, like, alpaca and
I ate alpaca, and I ate guinea pig.
I saw that they eat that.
Yes, yes. Actually, I think
I have...
You have
some in your purse?
Disgusting. No, you can see it online on
I don't have guinea
Facebook.
Pig in my purse, but I think I have some coca leaves. Oh, this is what coca... Cocaine is made out of.
Can I smell it? I just want to see what it smells like.
And you can chew it, right?
You can chew it.
This is coca, so it's not cocoa, like
chocolate? It's not like chocolate. This is like cocaine, what cocaine is made out
coca?
Of.
Coca?
And you smuggled it back.
Yeah, you're not supposed to bring any plants, and especially not narcotics.
Well, I can't.
So you bring coca back.
I bring coca back.
Coca leaf back. That's really interesting. It doesn't smell like anything.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like a regular
coca. Well, it's because it's dried, though, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
But so all the natives, like, they wad it up and they stick it in their mouth and they just chew it. And it, apparently it helps. It's an appetite suppressant. I think of it kind of like either cocaine or coffee. You know, it's an appetite suppressant. And
because it's a stimulant.
It's a stimulant. Yeah. So it kind of, like, wakes you up and gets you going. And
Like coffee,
you know? So,
but it also anesthetizes you a little bit,
Yes,
too,
they actually
right?
use it if you have any kind of pain. They use it as medicine and also to help altitude sickness. So it really does have a lot of wonderful restorative qualities.
Well, now, don't people kind of adjust after a couple of days?
It's like smoking and, probably, you know what I mean, and like coffee. You know, you just kind of, you have to have it every day.
Oh, no, I mean the altitude. I'm sorry. You know, because after a couple of days, don't you kind of adjust, like your sister kind of adjusted and felt better?
Well, we were only there for such a short period of time that by the time we were leaving, it was like too late. And it really just kind of affects your body unless you immediately get down to a lower altitude.
Why didn't you stay for longer?
Because I just got back from a month in Australia.
And,
Do you believe her?
This is insane. Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. So Sam would have killed me if I took any more time off.
But now she's taking time off for good because she's going to Australia because she met the man of her dreams.
I knew it.
Really?
No, I'm going.
Everybody finds love in Australia.
Now she's going to give you the spiel.
Was it like the movie, like a big Baz Luhrmann production number?
Oh, he had a big Baz.
So now wait, you're going to move to Australia?
Next Friday.
What? Are you crazy? For somebody you just met.
No, I'm not.
Hottie Help is giving you a safety
Susie,
tip
Susie,
right
but
now.
Let me tell you something before you say anything. Don't bother trying to convince people otherwise because
Sam.
That's what you said.
Right. This is what you want to do
with
your life. I'm just shocked. I'm totally shocked.
I'm going for school.
Right.
Just remember, you're talking to a safety expert here.
Were you thinking of going to school there before?
You know what? Before I met him, I was actually thinking, I've always wanted to live in Australia. I've loved Australia my whole life. I have an Australian red-eyed tree frog tattooed on my back. I breed Australian bearded dragons.
Oh, the lizard.
Lizard, yeah.
Can I see your tattoo just out of idle curiosity?
Yeah, she's got that frog. What's that frog called?
That's cute. I also saw your
just
underwear,
lifted
but
a
that's
fucking
okay.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't expect that, but that was really
You know,
cute.
Candace, our show really needs to revamp.
Our show is nothing compared to this. I did not expect that.
No one has lifted their skirt on Hottie Help.
I figured Candace would come in here being a shock, you know?
No, but for me, I mean, just you and I wouldn't get shocked, but I forget there's two men in here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I should be shocked.
Girls do that.
Cute underwear, too.
Thank you.
They run in the restroom, and they go, here, check out my boob job. I mean,
yeah, we don't
do
think
that.
Anything of it. But that is really cute. It's
Thank
large.
You.
Just like
you know
3 inches?
It's 4 inches. When I went to get the tattoo, I'm not really good with like the metric system or whatever system we use here.
Oh.
And so I didn't... The guy was like, how big do you want it? I was like, I don't know, like this big? And he's like, well, inches. And I was like, 4 inches? And then I go to turn around when it's done, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's huge.
Oh, my God. Well, you've got one right there, too, on your
gypsy.
Arm.
Gypsy, yes.
Is that
like
a real
gypsy?
Tattoo?
Yes, it is.
Did you like Gypsy, the Gypsy Rose Lee Gypsy?
I don't know who that is.
Well, then why do you have that? That Gypsy Rose Lee is the famous... stripper, and they did a movie about her in the 1960s.
Yeah,
Natalie Wood portrayed her.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
and Rosalind Russell.
No, well, I just consider myself like in my heart and in my soul and spirit, kind of a wandering, you know, free spirit. I've just moved
around
a lot, and
she's
moving
around
for the weekend.
She's definitely a gypsy.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's a character and stuff, you know. But I got to tell you, I love those pink undies, man. Wow.
Thanks.
Wow, you just blew me away here.
And you thought I was all conservative in my turtleneck wool dress.
Wait a minute. I have underoos on. Let me get my underoos
Okay, keep them in.
I know. Let's not see that. how nature says do not touch. We don't need to.
It's like we just got Skype at our house, and we've been Skyping people with the camera.
It's so wonderful.
And the first
Are you guys
thing,
married?
No.
No, we're friends. No.
Oh, you said at our house.
Oh, well, he and I come over a lot, and so
okay.
But you're married, right, Doug?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
My my wife.
The minister has to be.
My wife is Dana, and she is the editor of Variety.com.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Wow.
Yes, she has the power in the
Famous
house.
Famous people.
I'm the clown.
Really?
So we got Skype.
And, well, the first thing you do if you're Skyping like an old college buddy like I am is you realize, like, I can moon him. Like, that was, like, my first thought, you know? And he's like, you keep your pants on, don't you? Because it's this guy. You're like, hey,
man. Oh, no.
Oh, no. But it's funny because your friends were, like, showing their dogs, bringing their dogs up into the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Moving them around. And you know,
we were showing our dogs back at them. And also, like, if, you know, you have relatives in a foreign country,
it's
a great
way. I showed my
kitty
on Skype.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's cool.
I'm sure you did.
I had an ex-boyfriend
euphemism.
In Vancouver.
That's
and
a euphemism.
No, I had an ex-boyfriend in Vancouver, and the only way we can, like, really, like, maintain, you know, the sexual whatever in our relationship was Skype sex.
Have you ever heard of having Skype a boyfriend in the city instead of Vancouver or Australia? Or?
No, like, I don't know. Domestic boyfriends are so bad.
Yeah, she's not that local.
So you go abroad to find boyfriends, and then you can Skype sex them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really hard to say, Skype sex.
Skype sex.
Yeah.
Three times in a row, Skype sex.
Skype sex.
Oh, no. You've called out the Skype sex monster if you say it too often.
Oh, no.
Like Beetlejuice.
Oh, no. I can't say Skype sex three times, so I guess it's okay whenever I call him out.
How'd you meet the guy in Australia?
He was my scuba diving instructor.
Oh.
So are you guys, like, official now? Like, your boyfriend, girlfriend?
It says so on Facebook.
Well, it's
real. Therefore, it must be
real.
Did he, like, Twitter that? He Twittered it to Facebook and said, you know, you guys are together?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It must be real. It's official.
I know. I haven't met his parents.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. He's not even Australian. He's English.
So you're going to move next week to Australia?
Hopefully, that's the plan.
What do you mean, hopefully? Do you have a ticket?
Well, I got a ticket yesterday, but right now I'm working on the visa, and my transcripts are taking too long to get there, and I can't get the visa until I get the official confirmation of enrollment. And so it's, like, logistically a nightmare.
Yeah.
And on top of it all, I'm trying to sell
my car.
Well,
it wouldn't be if you planned a little bit in advance.
Well,
you know,
I didn't
but 2 weeks
know I
little...
was moving, like next week.
Aren't you going to miss L.A. or no?
I love L.A. I really do.
How long have you been here?
It'll be 2 years in May.
And then where were you before this?
Before this, Marblehead, Massachusetts. Before that, upstate New York. Before that, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Before that, all over Colorado.
Oh, my God.
Army brat?
Well, I actually was in the Army myself.
Ah,
you were in the Army?
Yeah.
What were you?
Well, for the first 2 years...
Yeah, like Candace can't believe it.
I was, like, shocked. You told me this, Sam, but I had no idea. This is, like, you can write a biography right now.
Well, the first 2 years, I was a special intelligence analyst, but then the top... the Department of Defense and FBI... when they were doing my background check, labeled me verbatim a sketchy motherfucker and wouldn't give me my top secret clearance. So they made me reclass to a lesser MOS with a lesser security clearance. So I did military police work for the last 2 years.
So you were a military cop?
Yeah.
That's very sexy.
Thank you.
Very sexy and very cool.
Did you get to wear a little outfit? Like,
oh, my God. I look so cute in my BDUs, my battle dress uniform with my cute 9mm and my beating stick.
Oh, like a billy club. You had a cute 9mm and a billy
Did your
club.
9mm have, like, little, you know, diamonds on it?
Was it
sparkles?
Was it pink?
It was pink, yeah.
They can do it like the phones, like when they do
like
that thing for the cell phones. You can, like, trick
the
it out.
The Swarovski crystals.
No, but, like, my company commander was like, Private Raleigh, because my last name's Raleigh, and my nickname is Not So Private Raleigh. So, Private Raleigh, you get up here. That is not your cute little gun. That is your weapon. And I'm like, but it's so cute, Company Commander. Sir. And he's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, get back in formation. And I'm like, yes, sir.
Where were you? I mean, were you here in the military?
Yeah, I actually, people think that I know, like, some general, like, way up, because I simultaneously missed out on, like, 4 deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq and Uzbekistan.
Wow.
And,
right.
Yeah, and Bosnia, so...
But they don't put women on the front lines, though, or do they?
Well,
they're over there.
They're over there, and the front
line... Anything could happen.
There is no front line anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You're right,
yeah,
anything
they'll
could happen.
They'll kill you anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yes and no. I mean, technically, if there were a front line, like, they wouldn't actually be sent out to it, but there have been instances where women have been sent out.
Yeah, Jessica...
Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, she was right in the middle
of it. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And there have been women killed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it's terrible, though. And I think it's because also I think women are more vulnerable if they get caught, you know, if they get captured, that perhaps I think the military doesn't want to risk it like that. You know
there.
What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, with a woman, there's a lot more terrible things you can do than with a man, I suppose. I don't know.
I've been in prison.
They can do some really terrible things. Some
they could do terrible things to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't you seen Slumdog Millionaire?
No,
but I want to see it.
Oh, my God. You party people need to see that instantly. I'm telling you, it is the most hauntingly amazing movie I've ever seen in my life.
That's what everybody says.
I couldn't even watch, like, parts of it. I'd have to, like, put my head down. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't watch this. But then you're like, I have to watch it. And it's like, oh.
Why?
What's
it about?
Is it torture or something?
There's all kinds of torture and just murder and, like, massacre.
But musical, too, right? It's a musical.
It's not really a musical.
No, there's
it's,
no...
There's music at the end. If you stay and watch the credits...
Is it like a Bollywood ending where they all sing and
dance? Kind of, yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Like
same director that did Trainspotting, Danny Boyle.
Love yes. Trainspotting.
And it's about a kid who wins the lottery, right, in
no,
India?
No, he does... basically, he wins... Or he goes on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in India. And he... Before he gets to the last question to become a millionaire, he had answered everything correctly. And then they're like, oh, we're out of time. But the reason he knew all the answers was because of all the different things that he'd been through as a child, being homeless and being orphaned and, you know, going through all these different things and being tortured and blah, 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 blah. And so all the different instances in his life that had led up to him knowing the answers to all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So when they went to have, like, the one-day recess, all of a sudden the guy who's running the show has, like, you know, him kidnapped and has him completely tortured to try and find out, like, how he's cheating or if he's cheating. And he's like, no, I just know the answers. But it's I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Oh, wow.
Go and see it right now, I'm telling you, after the show.
That's what everybody says, that and the one that Mickey Rourke is in.
The Wrestler.
The Wrestler.
Which yeah, I
is
did
that
see.
Pretty good?
I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah. It's a well-told tale.
Yeah.
It does. It's not an
is
amazing...
Is he good in it?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know who that is.
You don't
know Mickey Rourke?
No.
You know 9 and a half weeks with Kim Basinger?
I thought you were going to say 90210.
You're going way too bad.
She knows that one.
Let's see, something more current. See,
yeah. Wasn't he in Diner a long time ago?
But see, again, this is all really...
I've never seen Diner. These
Sin
are great
City.
Movies.
Have you seen Sin City?
He's in Sin City.
Yes, Bruce Willis?
Yeah, Bruce Willis was in it. Yeah, Mickey Rourke was in it too as well, right?
And he was also in a heist movie recently. There was that kind of put him back to prominence. He did a heist movie where he was a bad guy. I can't remember the name of it. Somebody IMDb it, but
huh.
Yeah,
we saw a really crazy movie last night.
Which one?
Oh my gosh, it's this old Japanese horror movie
called Audition.
Called Audition, and it's subtitled. It's in Japanese, and people.
The premise is cool. The premise is a sneaky guy, kind of something that we would talk about on Hottie Help, where a guy sets up auditions just to find a girl. It's not a real movie. And that is something that is actually we've talked about on Hottie Help. But the girl gets him back. The girl waits and kidnaps him.
And drugs him.
Drugs him, puts
tortures
a roofie
him.
In his whiskey.
Yeah.
And then she tortures him. And it's some of the most horrific torture we've ever seen.
Whoa.
Where she put needles underneath his eye.
It's a horror movie. It's a Japanese horror movie.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, we thought that it was going to be the scariest movie because we love horror movies.
It
and
took forever to get to the torture. We're like,
and
where's the torture? We're
like,
waiting for the torture.
Why would you want to watch something like that, though?
Do you guys like SNL?
Be scared.
No, we just like, you know, to
Spaniards
get scared.
Spaniards and Mexicans, we love them.
Yeah.
Big fans.
We just love horror movies, and we thought that it was going to be really scary, and it wasn't. I mean, gosh.
Wait, this isn't in the theater, is it?
No. You have to Netflix it.
But it was on a lot of lists of like people
top
that really
five,
yeah,
horror
top five
of
horror
all
films
time.
Of all times. I've read it 3 or 4 times, so I was like, okay, you know on Netflix where you say, I really need to, you know, see this. Instead of something you want to see, you go, I should really see this film.
Yes, yes. Right.
It was okay.
And then
but
it sits
great.
In your, you know, in your house for like 3 weeks because you're like, oh, look, 13 Going 30 is on the table and I can watch that instead.
It was okay, but it wasn't great.
13 Going on 30.
Isn't that the best?
I've never seen that. I've never seen Legally Blonde either.
Oh, I love 13 Going on 30. They do the Thriller dance in it.
Yes,
oh, they do?
Yeah.
Damn. Is it like in the 80s or something?
No, it's well, she goes back in time. It's kind of like Big, 13
yes,
Going on 30.
Yes.
She goes back in time to correct things, and then she comes forward.
She blows out her birthday candle, and she wishes that she were young again. She comes back when she was 13.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something like, what's that other one with Drew Barrymore, Never Been Kissed?
Yes.
When when she goes back to high school when she was a dork and then comes back.
I mean, I like
sweet.
That one.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very, very sweet movie.
The best moment in 13 Going on 30 is so she wishes she's older, right?
Right.
So the first thing she does, of course, is look down her shirt.
Uh-huh. To see if she has boobs.
Exactly. And the second thing she should have done is look down here and go, oh, I guess nothing happened because it's... current, but nobody gets that show.
I have to see the movie. Yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet.
I think that's funny.
Do you get it?
I get it.
What I'm saying?
I get it. I'm picking up what you're putting
down. Yeah. Oh, nothing happened.
Aren't the Grammys? The Grammys are Sunday, aren't they?
Candace, you hear that switch?
What?
He's got a little too sexual. Nice, it's like, you know, the Grammys.
Well, I was just thinking the Grammys are this weekend. The Grammys are on Sunday.
Yeah. And? You were on the cover of a Grammy-winning album, is that correct?
I was on the cover of a Grammy-winning album. Brave Combo's No, 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 Cha-Cha-Cha, which won a Grammy.
Cha-Cha-Cha.
Yeah. Really? Or Polka. Yeah. Here's how you win a Grammy. Obscure category.
Yeah. Polka.
If you're up against everybody in R&B, you're not going to win. But if you do Polka...
you'll win a Grammy.
You'll win one.
Marches.
That is awesome. Yeah.
I won a Grammy for funny, a march, you know.
So Candace, I mean, going back to this, are you nervous talking about sex?
No, not at all.
I think he was just joking.
And rolling his eyes.
He was just joking.
No, but you come across as very reserved, very conservative and stuff, you know. you take yourself seriously. I mean,
well, you know what? Well, that's the thing. When we do Hottie Help, we do try to take it seriously.
Right.
And we have a good time and we enjoy our guests coming on and we joke around for an hour. But there are certain key elements that we want to bring to the show every single week.
I'm in trouble a lot.
He's in trouble a lot. I make faces at him all the time. We try to keep, this is the thing. With Doug, we have the humor, but we try to steer him back to the topic. We always try to get back. I mean, one time we had somebody on, and the next thing I know, we were talking about vintage baseball cards and sports memorabilia. And I mean, that's great and that's wonderful, but we need to always get back to the topic. There is a theme of the show.
That's what Sam does to me because I go off. I'm really ADD.
On
so I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, want to ride bikes? What? And he's like, Susie, we were talking about this. Focus.
Focus.
I'm like, I forgot
this.
My Adderall. I can't help it.
I thought you had the best sports safety tip, though. I thought it was a really great one last week. She says if you bring a little kid to a large sports venue and you're a little worried about losing them, take a safety pin and safety pin their ticket to their shirt.
And that way you can
say no. Whether
so usher immediately can go, oh, this child is lost.
That's a good idea.
Sports venues are so large and there's thousands of people there.
Yeah.
And if you accidentally, God forbid, something happen, you're able to
I'm going to do that every time I go to a concert.
That's what you need to do. Carry your safety pin and you will be okay.
And then if it's a punk concert, you can put it through your ear and you're ready to go.
Oh, awesome.
That's a brilliant idea.
And we talked about, last week, we talked about mnemonics too. And if you forget where you're parked in the parking lot, to remember like A4, apples for you, and then that way you'll remember where you parked. So at the end of the time, you know, 5 hours of being there, and you come out and it's night, you'll be like, oh, I remember where I parked.
Can I tell you how many times I parked my car in long-term parking to save money a million times?
Right.
I have never once taken the shuttle from the airport, the baggage drop-off, to the long-term parking. I've always hitchhiked because I never have any freaking clue.
Are you crazy?
You're telling the Hottie Help person you hitchhike.
Hitchhike is a no-no.
No.
Gone by the ways of the 70s. Candace, just like wearing no deodorant and free love
and
hitchhiking.
Having stuff down below.
All three, you're like, no.
Candace, you should have her as the...
of what to not do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, bring her on the show, and this is what you don't do, okay? This is a woman at high risk here.
Seriously. We have a segment called Hottie Help Mistakes.
Yeah. Doug does every single week.
And we're not even going to tell him some of the stuff you've done. Okay.
God forbid.
I mean, she's done such crazy, scary stuff when you think about it. Very, very nervy.
Like hitchhiking in Mexico
But think about
kinds of things. Or like going to people that she doesn't know.
I just did couch surfing all through Australia and just stayed with...
I don't agree with couch surfing. But wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Check it out, though. If the normal girl hitchhikes and a bad guy picks her up, he might have his way with her, but he's got a military police woman.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It
she
doesn't matter.
She can pull out her stuff. She can do her nuts.
Yeah, but she comes across as, I'll do anything for you. That's what she projects.
Okay. I was on a train from Cusco to Machu Picchu the other day, and like I was very friendly to the conductor, Raul. Mm-hmm. I was like smiling. I'm like, hi. Like, oh, muchas gracias. Thank you. You know, talking to him in Spanish a little bit. Just being friendly. My sister was passed out next to me. I was bored. On the train home, I got caught accidentally in the middle of like an alpaca fashion show on the train. Don't ask. It's how they try and like sell their goods.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, you know, Susana, come here. And he pulls me behind the curtain. He's like, be in the fashion show. And I'm like, okay, fun. I'll be in the fashion show. And so I go off on the train. I'm doing the runway. He pulls pulls me back behind the curtain when I come back, and he goes to kiss me left, right, on the lip, or on the cheeks.
Yeah.
And then he, like, kisses me smack dab on the lips and shoves his tongue in my mouth.
No.
And I'm like, no, tango un novio, I have a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's just like my friendly mannerisms, people always assume the wrong thing, and they always assume that I want to sleep with them, or that I want to...
Right.
Like,
well, that's why Candace is a perfect person to ask, you know?
I'm friendly too, though, but right. there's point with it. You have to stand inside your hula hoop. You're standing there, the hula hoop is the protection around you. You're friendly to a point.
Okay.
And you don't want to get taken advantage of. And so maybe that's a little bit too much. I mean,
The hula hoop of safety.
I mean, it's a good, you know, visual cue to be able to you've got boundaries. Right. You have to have boundaries and show people like that. If they behave inappropriately to you, you don't make contact with them. You don't talk to them anymore. You know, that guy right there, you could have kicked him in the nuts or whatever. You just have to really show them that you mean business.
Right.
Yeah.
That you are friendly and it makes you attractive or whatever.
I think she really leads them on. I think that's the problem, you know. And,
well,
and you play with
he
fire.
Thinks when I just he thinks when I say hi, my name is Susie. That
you don't do this, Susie. She stops at the stoplight and starts. What do you do to guys? I mean, you like start flirting with them.
Well, okay.
You're like
when I drive in my car.
Excuse me, Susie. What about the other day? Okay, when these guys. I don't know. I don't even want to.
Is this an intervention on Susie?
Yeah.
I don't think
Susie intervention.
That's why you brought them in here.
Yeah. It's all planned.
It's been planned. No, not really. But
what did I do the other day?
No, the other day, I mean, you were in the car and these guys were looking at you. You tell her, okay, I mean, I'm even like, I shudder just thinking of having to tell her what you were doing in the car.
What were you doing in the car?
Oh.
Okay.
I'll tell her. You're going to be horrified. All right. So I'm really bad with directions. I was like 3 miles from my house. Like I live right up the street, but I got lost.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, I'm so annoyed that I was lost. And I'm like, I'm not going to plug in the fucking GPS because I can't be lost 3 miles from my house. I know where I am somewhat.
All right.
And so I finally have to plug in the GPS and I finally get back on Sunset. But now it's rush hour and I'm stuck in traffic.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, I'm really bored. I'm moving to Australia in like a week. My bikini wax is growing back in. So I'm completely...
Okay, so here's a complete non sequitur. I'm bored, and so my bikini wax is growing back in. It makes perfect sense to me. Okay,
so,
go ahead.
So I stick my leg out the window, put my car e-brake on, you lift my dress up, and I get my tweezers.
Whoa, slow down.
Right here.
And you start tweezing.
I'm plucking.
And in the car.
In my Mini Cooper, which keep in mind is very low to the ground. And all of a sudden, a truck of like...
In the car while driving.
While driving. A car of like Hispanic guys pulls up, a truck, and they can look directly and, Dios mío, ay mami. And I'm like, hi guys, thanks, you know, whatever. Next car comes up, it's a big truck as well. These like redneck guys are like, holy shit, did you see that? Oh my goodness. And I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, carry on with your life. Like, I'm carrying on with mine.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to do right now. She looks like she wants to kill me or cry.
Well, you see, she doesn't think of consequences at all.
Well, you got to think about the consequences. I mean, those guys may think it's funny.
I was trying to maximize time.
No, I understand that. I understand. I do the same thing. I mean, but you can, you know, Twitter in the car. You can text in the car.
No, that's illegal. That's illegal. Tweezing your vagina is not illegal in the car.
No, you don't have to.
You
can call. You can make business phone calls in the car. You can, you know, text to people when you're sitting at a stoplight in the car.
Or you can tweeze your vagina.
I'm
sorry, it wins.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Boring. Tweeze your vagina. That wins. I'm sorry,
that
wins
out. Of a book.
Tweeze your vagina.
Isn't that inviting?
Oh, that's trouble.
It is. Because most people are going to think that's funny or whatever or sexy and go on with their day. However, there are other people that are going to see that as an opportunity, and you're in the car by yourself, and they could follow you to wherever you're going, including your home, which was only 3 blocks away from where you were.
Ooh,
so you have to,
see?
You should be careful. You know,
yeah, I would just say
definitely.
Tweezing vagina in car, that's a no, right? Can we go on record as a no?
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Or maybe I should just get tinted windows.
Are you in a Mini Cooper that's a convertible?
Just a regular? No, just regular.
Okay.
But with double sunroofs and, you know.
Yeah.
People could definitely see it.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's the Antichrist of hotting up, let me tell you.
You really do need to exercise her.
No, we have to have her on. We need her on.
You seriously, you should come on and we should do like an exorcism.
A hottie help exorcism.
It would be awesome, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you must have some demons in there.
It'll be a special show.
And remember the guy from the video game awards?
Mm-hmm.
I met some guy at the video game awards and you know what I mean? I decided to go out with him and a bunch of other people afterwards. And you know, I went down
and like, you see, she does that all the time. She meets people and she just goes out with them and spends happens. You know, I mean, they just go out
drunk and then
it's shit
like,
all
they're,
night.
They're like, we'll stay at our house. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I will stay at your house, but I'm not going to hook up with you. And like, I'll tell them that in advance. But this one guy, he would not get off of me like all freaking night. I was like, chastity belt. I'm like, no, don't touch me. Like, get your fucking hands off of me. But it was like all freaking night. Like,
but then why didn't you leave?
I was drunk. I couldn't drive home and it was pouring rain.
Even though it's your intervention, I'm going to help her out a little bit.
Okay. Because I have an answer for that one too.
It does sound like an intervention.
I'll tell you what,
Doug has to say.
I'll tell you what, though. She's definitely pushing the risk, but I'll bet you, you have had a rich life. I'll bet all these little chances you have taken, aside from the goofy stuff, I'll bet you've been places that we wouldn't go because we're a little chicken because we wouldn't do that. You've had amazing adventures.
Yeah.
You have had amazing adventures. I mean, and that's the good part of it. But I think the other side is that one of these days, one situation could be really horrible. Like for that situation, if you're drunk, like why couldn't you have picked up the phone and called a friend and said, you know what? I'm in this situation. Can you come get me?
Because I didn't feel it was like... I felt that I could protect myself enough.
But how can you sleep with some stupid guy pawing you the whole night?
I mean, I couldn't sleep. It was
annoying.
That's
why I would be just like, ugh.
I know. I was totally disgusted and totally annoyed. And he actually, like, Sam the next day was like, Susie, that was sexual assault. You said no, and he kept trying. And I was like, yeah. And Sam was like, well, that's like attempted rape. And I was like, well, I wouldn't go as far as to call it attempted rape. I would just say he was very persistent.
It's inappropriate.
A lot he was pawing, yeah.
A lot
pawing.
Of guys, you know, if you're like, I don't know, if you sleep in a bed with someone and they're just like, you know, they think if they try enough that eventually you'll be like, okay, yes.
I consider myself a nice guy, but I know I've been in a situation where I was very inebriated and I was mauling, you know, and she's like, stop. And I'm like, huh? You know, I'm sorry, there's a, you know, the hypothalamus part of your brain says procreate. And if you you know, dim all of your responsibilities with alcohol, sometimes you do, you know, things you're ashamed of.
Right. And so, like, I know, I could have called a friend to come get me, but I really felt that I could protect myself in the situation. And I was, you know, physically able enough to, like, keep him, you know, just be like, no, to keep myself from being raped or whatever. And then the next day I got up and I left, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ, why did I get myself in that situation? And I have been raped. The first time I had sex, I had been raped by putting myself in a situation where I was
trying... date rape?
Is it date rape if you weren't on a date?
Well, I mean, did you know... it was a casual acquaintance?
It was someone I had known 4 years earlier, and then I had gone off to boarding school, and I hadn't seen the guy in a long time.
Mm-hmm. If you know someone, yes.
But I knew. We went to a party together from the school where he had graduated from, and he was, like, a big football player guy, and I saw him. He was on acid. He was doing, like, coke and, like, on ecstasy. Like, he was on all these different cocktails of drugs, and I was house-sitting for my grandparents, and... you know, I saw him when we all got a ride back to the one house. I saw him, like, stumbling to his car. And he lived where my mom lived, which was an hour away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I just want a bed to sleep in. I'm like, well, I'm house-sitting at my grandparents'. Like, I'll give you a monogram face towel and, you know, a toothbrush and your own bedroom.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, whatever.
But see...
And so here I am trying to be...
I mean...
Here I am. This was before military, Susie. No, this is like...
But I'm just wondering how big he was, because for me, like...
She said a football player.
Yeah, he must have been huge, because, like, ecstasy is enough to knock you out, but he had ecstasy, coke, and...
acid.
I mean, was he, like, Rasputin? He could just swallow a drugstore?
Trust me, I have done my fair share of drugs in my time and gone to Burning Man with all these different people doing all these different kinds of drugs. Ooh.
We got a phone here.
Go
on.
And you would be surprised the kinds of drugs that people can do and still get it up and still... Like, I've had some boyfriends that are, like, Iron Man... with drugs when it comes to doing things like this. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Ecstasy, the usual logic on ecstasy.
Limp-dick,
yeah.
And you just want to be all touchy-feely.
Well, it's so funny. Mm-hmm. And the girls are all, no, like, I love you. Let's have sex. And the guys are like, no, I love you. I don't need to have sex with you. I love you.
You're just in love.
Yeah.
When you mix certain drugs together, though, the effects, you know, totally get counteracted. And I don't know. But, yeah, so... See, I put myself in these stupid situations, and but everyone up until, and I didn't tell anyone for a very long time, because everyone in my life, you know, they'd always been like, Susie, you do these stupid things. Mm-hmm. One day, you're going to get fucked. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? They didn't, like, kind of both meanings, whatever. Sweet. And I'm like, oh, no, I just graduated from an all-girls boarding school. Like, I'm empowered. Like, no one can hurt me. I know what I'm doing. And then this happens, and I was just like, fuck. I was like, everyone was fucking right. But at that point, I don't know. I moved on and still continued hitchhiking all around the country. And
statistically, one of these days, though, I mean, you can have wonderful experiences, like Doug said, but it's almost like it's a weight. It's tossing a coin. It's saying, you know, am I going to risk this to get this, or am I going to lead a
But she goes back, so she obviously enjoys the risk. She obviously loves the adventures.
Same way I like skydiving.
And yeah, it's like
there, there are certain people that put themselves
seeker.
In physical danger yeah. that, all the time, and they're like, you can't climb Mount Everest.
No,
you could die.
I'm saying,
and they're like,
do,
well, I like it.
Do yeah. those types of things. But I'm saying as far as protecting yourself from an assault, that's different than climbing Mount Everest. And, you know, bungee
it's
cord
putting
jump
yourself
you
in
want.
Harm's way.
Well, it's a
she
different
puts
type.
Herself in harm's way.
You can
way.
Put yourself in harm's way as far as, like, you know, thrill-seeking, like jumping right, out of planes. Right. But I also wonder about caring about yourself enough to protect yourself and keeping yourself safe.
Yeah.
You know, a worth issue of wanting to keep yourself safe from harm's way.
I did have, well, I guess I probably still do have, like, issues of self-worth just from when I was a child. I grew up modeling and doing TV commercials in New York. And so it was like, no matter what I had going on in my life, my personal life, my mom would be like, you know, you just watched your dog get run over by a car. You know, don't cry. Your eyes will be swollen for your shoot tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next thing you know, I go and do the commercial, and it's like, ooh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's got the taste you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, like, there are definitely issues of that I've been working on in therapy, like, my entire life.
Good.
But for some reason, just my personality is so carefree and so trusting of the world in general that even though I have been wronged, and I've been wronged by friends and boyfriends and other people, and I'm just so forgiving and accepting that I just decide, I don't know. I think the world and the universe will somehow take care of me on some level if I put enough faith in it. Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, that's kind of believing in the karmic cycle. I mean,
yes.
Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes very nice, wonderful people have horrible things happen to them, and it's just the way life is. You know, and the more you up your ante by doing that, the higher the risk is for something bad happening to you. So, you know, right. I mean, that's from the Hottie Help. It's just saying, you know, please be careful. And you're, you know, in your early 20s, you're young.
I'm
you're
pushing
so,
30.
Well, okay, you look like you're in your early
yeah,
20s.
30.
You look like you're in your early
20s.
You're young.
I'll be 27 next month.
Oh,
well,
okay.
So you're young, you're attractive. You have the whole world in front of you, your whole life in front of you, you know, so think of it in the long run. If you're going to be on to 80, don't sit there.
Well, Candace, that's why I'm moving to Australia.
Which is safe.
I'm moving to a tiny, tiny, tiny town that has two roads.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to school full time with a double degree
awesome.
In psychology and social work, and, you know, and so there's nothing to do there except study. And, you know, go scuba diving.
And play with the dingoes.
And play with my boyfriend's dingo.
Your dingoes.
Yeah.
Your dingo ate my baby.
So you've heard that too, huh?
What?
About the dingoes, right?
Oh, the wild dogs out there?
Yeah.
No, I told you about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did.
So Elaine on Seinfeld, there's this one scene where she's like, your dingo ate my baby.
Yes.
Oh,
classic.
No.
And yeah. So everyone thinks that's hysterical, but no one actually knows
the real story.
No, you know where it's from?
It's from the
woman who had her baby stolen.
And it's also the movie with Meryl Streep.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which one? Who's Meryl Streep? Just kidding.
just
Devil
kidding.
Wears Prada.
I'm just kidding.
No, see, her career is extended, so that's why she wouldn't
right.
know.
Yeah.
No, I know
she
Meryl
She wouldn't have heard
Streep.
Of Sophie's Choice or anything.
No, she would have missed Sophie's Choice.
I have.
Choice.
Yeah.
Did you see? That's an amazing movie.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
That's a sad movie.
Yeah, Sophie's Choice is really amazing because she has a choice between a certain breakfast cereal and another breakfast cereal.
Yeah, right.
The entire movie is like, am I going to choose Count Chocula or am I going to choose Frankenberry?
Right.
It's an amazing movie. You should see it.
It's
sometime.
Compelling. Absolutely compelling.
It.
That scene where mm-hmm. she put the milk on the Franken chocolate.
Yeah. And it
went good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's but the scary thing is people actually went through that, you know, during the Holocaust and stuff. They
oh
had
my
to.
God.
You
oh,
know, because,
I know.
You know, mm-hmm. essentially it's like she has to choose which child she has to give up,
the
right?
The son or the daughter.
Yes.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Somebody said a really
how
good
do you
thing.
Make a decision like that?
Somebody said a really good thing about that. It was like, she didn't have a choice. Evil, you know, evil.
Evil had a choice.
Evil pretended like she had a choice. You know, she didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Every parent's
has
a good
a way
favorite,
of putting
though.
Well, it's funny because in that scene, she's pushed to the edge, which, you know, take my son, take my daughter, take my son, take my daughter. And at the very last minute, she screams, you know, take my daughter.
Mm.
So it shows that the parent has a little.
And I've had a friend.
The son.
I've had a
horrible.
Friend who had to make a choice between their mother and their father, you know, in a tense divorce situation, and they just picked the mom because, like, motherhood, and actually it was a bad choice.
Yeah.
And in, like, 6 months, they called up their dad and said, get us out of here.
Wow.
You know, so what I'm saying is in that moment of absolute fear, you might just go to a totally primordial, okay, I picked the daughter because she's a woman like me, or I picked the son because,
mm-hmm. For whatever reason.
Your choice is, yeah, you're not in your right mind.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that I could make a choice like that. You know, I don't think anybody could. Any parent.
Well, wasn't it in Sophie's Choice that they were going to be killed unless
you
got
to pick one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you're
both
just like,
children were going to be killed unless
they picked
one. That
kind of creeps me out. I wonder who my parents would pick out of their children.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Don't even go there.
They
though.
Would take the doctor over
you
me.
No.
Oh.
These are questions that thankfully we don't have to think of on a regular basis.
Oh man!
So.
Yeah.
you know.
And if you stay safe, Susie, you won't have to worry about that.
I'm trying to stay safe. I don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
But.
So, Candace, let's talk a little bit about your book also. You have an upcoming book?
I'm sure. It's called The Haughty Handbook, A Girl's Guide to Safety. And it's going to be available on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. And we talk about a lot of the stuff we talk about on the show. Uh-huh. All the key safety issues. Like I said, safety in the home, workplace safety, you know, sexual harassment, how to online date, regular dating situations. You
Ooh, online dating.
Mm-hmm. Online yeah. dating. I mean, it's a very popular thing right now. And I think it's important for women to learn how to do it safely. You know, don't embed your personal email into your online profile, which some people do.
Don't put your phone number.
And we see this on How to Help Mistakes all the time. We see people doing this.
Putting
you know.
Their phone number mm-hmm. on.
My phone number is, and they put it into their profile. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Because anybody in the world is going to see that.
You know what not that's just the equivalent of? Like writing your phone number in the men's restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
putting yourself
for a good time.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, I'm on eHarmony. I bought like a year's thing just because I had a bad relationship, and I was like, I'll show you. I'm going to find a real man, and I'm going to go on eHarmony. And so then I did that, and everyone just kind of it's like a big family. I don't know how it works, but it does.
It's a big druggy family
because it's a big druggy family.
There's Daddy LSD, Mommy Ecstasy.
All right.
Junior's on the K-hole.
Junior's in the K-hole.
That's a good junior's in the K-hole.
We go on what we call YouTube K-holes, where we go and watch YouTube and get stuck
2 hours.
In a K-hole on YouTube. And it's like he'll
we
say,
like,
look
call
at
each
this.
Other up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, look at
look,
this.
Look at this Dick Cavett show from 1973.
And look at the last episode when Orson Welles was on Merv Griffin in 1985. And you get stuck in a K-hole for like 2 or 3 hours. It's horribly non-productive.
Yes. So, yes, it is horribly non-productive.
So I assume that's kind of like a regular K-hole as well.
It is.
It was like for cats and dogs, right? Tranquilizer
yes.
for the vets?
And they actually use it now for small children to...
they do?
Yes. My sister's a doctor, and so she can get it at the hospital,
you're
too.
You're kidding. And it's hypnotic, isn't it?
Okay, can I ask you a druggy drug question?
Yes, go ahead.
I saw this, and I think I showed it to you. It was on a Dateline NBC, mm-hmm. where this doctor was shooting up his girlfriend in the crotch area. With this, like, some drug that lights up the crotch so it's like a pinball machine down there.
What?
Yeah. And it's, like, really fantastic. It's some kind of opiate that goes straight into the crotch area. So, like, sex is, like, super, super fantastic. And,
what?
Yeah. And the police asked her about the drug, and she says, basically, it makes me want to be naked all weekend.
I have no idea
I know,
what
I was
that
like,
is.
Give me some of that
now
stuff.
You got her curious.
You've got my curiosity peaked.
Yeah. But then, of course, she became addicted to it, and you know, the downward
her
spiral.
Vagina was addicted.
Absolutely. But she would shoot up down in that area. She would literally, they would do the needle down in there, and he did this whole tape. They did like a sex tape of her where she was doing it, and that was some of the evidence in
and
the trial.
Probably, like, covered in bruises and like needle marks and
see,
sores.
See, there she is.
Yeah.
She's taking me down. She's taking me down. I'm all excited.
Taking away your fantasy.
She takes down.
Now, Candace, is the casting couch, does that still exist?
You know what's funny is I've never seen an incident of a casting couch, and having been in the business as an actor for over 10 years.
Yeah.
So I think when you go to legitimate auditions, right. you know, your manager agent sends you out to a casting director. The casting director will, you know, see if you're good enough
Most
to go
casting
to
directors are gay or overweight women.
I do not vouch for that.
Come on.
But, you know, I have good relationships with casting directors that I have known for years. And I've only gotten jobs through auditioning and getting the part legitimately.
Right.
And I have never really been given jobs, ever. Right. I've had to audition for every single thing that I've gotten.
Nice.
And you have to think about when you go to casting houses, you're going to Paramount, you know, or you're going to ABC, or you're going to Universal. You're going to these legitimate right. studios.
And that stuff doesn't happen? There?
At big castings, I've never, ever, ever seen anything.
Right.
You know what does happen, though, occasionally, is I've heard you say you lost out on a part because the director put his girlfriend in or something like that.
I haven't lost out on a part, but I was on a job where the director put his girlfriend in right. a scene with me who was not an actress. That has happened.
There was a big movie that you told me about that the person that got the part was related to somebody, like the producer or the director.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
I
not mentioning
remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, I don't remember. You can tell me after.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I did go on a casting, many years ago, for a calendar, and it was a fake casting. That was a fake casting.
Wow.
And it was somebody that I think wanted to meet
women.
Young women.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one. But as far as like going for legitimate you know, yeah. stuff. It has to get filtered through your agent, has to get filtered through your manager.
Well, you're at a level, you're at a level now where you're, you know, protected by an agent. A mm-hmm. young girl just starting out reading something in casting, what is the magazine, Dramalogue. Reading something in Dramalogue, oh, I'll go to this.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. Yeah. And I would say that that's dangerous. I mean, you really have to have, because, you know, agents and managers have relationships with casting people. Right. And yep. so they build those relationships and they know those casting houses and who those people are and that they're legitimate. But if you get something out of the Dramalogue, you don't even know who it is.
Yeah. But you take those chances when you're young because you don't have an agent.
Yeah. Well, I grew up having like agents, managers, mm-hmm. blah, 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 the whole thing. But I lived an hour north of Manhattan and I was working in Manhattan. So I was 14 years old and my parents decided I was, you know, they both had work and I was old enough to take the train down to New York and go shoot this commercial by myself. So they signed, you know, my work permit or whatever because if you're under 18, you have to have a parent with you.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, they signed the thing and they sent me down anyway to do it by myself. So I walk in and I meet the executive producer right away and he's like, oh, hi, my name's Drew. And I'm like, hi, Drew, nice to meet you. And he was so super hot. Keep in mind, I'm a 14-year-old girl. And he's like, Susie, I need you to fill out like the rest of this paperwork, you know, your name, your social security number, your daytime phone number, everything else. So basically, I fill out all this shit, I give it to him, and now, you know, I'm very trusting, you know, here he is, the executive producer, I don't know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, trying to pretend I'm grown up, and I go and I shoot the commercial and everything. A month later, I'm in my kitchen, and I get a phone call, so I pick it up, and I'm like, hello, I'm home alone, you know, divorced parents, and he's like, hey, Susie, this is Drew, mm-hmm. you know, from the commercial, and I was like,
Drew who?
Why, I knew who he was the only Drew I knew, but uh-huh. I was like, why are you calling me at my house? Why aren't you going through my agent and then through my manager and then to my mom?
Right.
You know what I mean? And he was just like, I just want to tell you the commercial looks absolutely wonderful. And, you know, like you're such a talented actress, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, thanks. And then he was like, what are you wearing? And I was like, I was baking cookies at the time. I almost dropped the freaking tray. I'm mm-hmm. like, and again, I don't know how to say no. He's someone who is high above. He's someone who has the power to hire me again or
and
fire me.
And he's good looking.
Well, at this point, I'm like paralyzed in fear. And I'm like, my uniform, you know, from school. Then I'm like, shit, bad answer. but then I'm like, I should have said a snowsuit. But so then I'm like,
yeah, I'm in my Catholic schoolgirl's uniform.
I seriously was right. at the time, and I'm like, fuck, you know. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't say fuck at the time, but now I'm saying fuck. But so then I finally was like, I have to go, and I hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, a week later, I'm at my dad's house. He calls me again. And now this just keeps happening. And he started calling me again and again and again. And I was too afraid to tell my parents that this guy was calling me and harassing me and saying these things to me because I didn't want them to think that I was too young to go down and do the shoots by myself because, you know, it was very empowering to, like, have this. But at the same time, he kept harassing me for over a year.
Well, see, pedophiles realize that. Pedophiles realize that children don't have the wherewithal at that time to be able to stand up and say, you know, F off, which you do now,
yeah.
but you didn't at the time. And right. also, I think at 14, you probably should have had a guardian with you, even though I know
Absolute.
That you think that
Absolutely.
You're you know, with it and everything at 14. They should have had, your mom and dad should have thought to have another family member or somebody that you trust, if they couldn't go, mm-hmm. go down with you that day. Because other people that are around that could be predatory, like that Drew guy,
yep.
Realize that you're by yourself and realize that you come from a divorced parent home and realize that you could be a potential victim.
And he had every bit of information on where to find me, mm-hmm. my addresses, all the different phone numbers. And looking back on it, I'm like, this is really actually quite scary because I was home alone all the time between mm-hmm. the two households. And something like disastrous really could have come out of that, like at a much earlier age.
There's a really exactly. good movie out right now called Gardens of the Night where Tom Arnold...
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, Tom amazing Arnold plays movie. A pedophile and he based it kind of on one of the pedophiles in his neighborhood as a kid. And, you know, doing his research, he said that pedophiles can literally look at a group of kids and pick out who they can...
Really?
Yeah.
And I think that some men...
By how vulnerable they seem.
How vulnerable right? they seem, yeah. self-esteem stuff, the way they carry themselves.
Right.
Will they listen to authority? Is authority always right?
Right.
You know?
Wow.
Men do that too, though. I think that men can look at a group of women and pick out the weakest one or pick out the one that's going to be most vulnerable or, like... Not to be rude, but no, most open
mm-hmm.
to allowing somebody to do something. They can sense it. Okay. It's a thing that they can do.
And know? When I was single, mm-hmm. I would pick out the girl who would give me the most shit. Like, I had that ability. Immediately,
you know, this you were able to focus, huh?
Hey, there's one that I'm going to have a year relationship that's going to suck. You.
You're the one. Come here. But I think that they can pick up little cues, or little subtle cues that you probably give off. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, tweezing your vagina is probably a big one right there.
Subtle cues.
But these are cues that you are giving, that you are putting out into the world. You know, you're putting out into the world. So, and I think that's a big thing. And even,
can you imagine what a big day that was for the guys who saw that?
Oh,
I'm telling you.
I would have had myself on a, dude, she was tweezing her vagina on Lancashire. Oh,
no,
my
that's,
God.
That's what they were saying. They're like, this is the best day ever. Like, I've never had more fun in a traffic jam. Thank you, thank you. Actually, I think I videotaped one of the responses on my cell phone after I had gotten like five.
She gave out
people.
So much like, happiness that day.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
She did.
I'm sure she did. More
but
to you.
I mean, they were probably likely to follow her, huh? I mean,
well, if you get the wrong person. Yeah. So like I said, a lot of us are going to laugh and think it's the funniest thing. Like we think, oh, my gosh, that's so hilarious. Let me call my friend. And it's funny, and it perks up the day. However, you can get that one person out of those five that you're sitting
that
next to that's going to focus in on you, and then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
You can talk to 100 people, and everybody's going to be fine, and one guy's going to be one taco short of a combo platter. You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
You don't know. And people that are a little bit off, they're like high functioning people that are off, and they have jobs, and they can
think
have a
about
girlfriend,
that casting director,
and they can
that.
Look kind of normal. They can appear kind of normal superficially, but underneath there's a motive. That there's a motive, and most of us don't go around with that, but some people do.
You see, I also think, Susie, is that being young, or I don't know, there's certain you're naive sometimes,
I'm
you know,
very
about
naive.
These things.
I know,
you know, and you just do things because you think they're funny or fun or whatever.
I was just trying to maximize time, to be honest. I swear to God,
right. Get
but
on
we
the
just
phone next
we
time.
Don't
Get
just
on the
talk about
time.
That. But I mean, look, it's like you flew with this guy. Okay, she was sitting next to this guy on the airplane, and she sleeps with her head in his crotch.
Well, what?
The whole time. Yeah, you see, I mean, so she does crazy stuff.
You do not know
to
that
her,
person.
To her, it's innocent.
Well, it wasn't sleeping. We drank whiskey in the airport for 5 hours, and I passed out. With my head in his lap.
Okay, like this is better, right? She's clarifying this for
Oh, yeah,
us.
We're in the airport, not the airplane.
In El Salvador, we were drinking whiskey for 5 hours. We had a 5-hour layover.
Oh, the life you've led.
I know. And then we get on the plane, and we wanted to sit next to each other because we were really enjoying each other's company, and we decided like we were good traveling partners, and we didn't know anyone else on the plane. So he convinced the flight attendant guy that we were married, and we wanted to sit next to each other. You know, so we continued drinking on the plane, and then next thing you know, I was passed out, and I woke up with my face in a pile of drool in his crotch. So it kind of sucked for him. He had to get off the plane with like a sopping wet crotch.
I bet you it didn't suck for him.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. If I was sitting on a plane and a chick did this to me, I would totally think she wants to have sex.
Why not?
And then there's because he thinks the guy, like Sam,
right.
not Sam as a person, but just a right. guy, would think there's no boundaries.
Right.
Because women have to set up subtle or
women
obvious
say no.
boundaries
Guys ask.
To show. That
guys
you are
ask.
Not interested, that you know you are just here and you'll be friends and you guys can talk for 5 hours or whatever.
You are
but
the gatekeeper.
Nothing, yes, you are the gatekeeper.
You are the gatekeeper.
Yeah, you control
have the
sex.
Key.
Yeah.
You have
no,
the key.
I am the key master. She is the gatekeeper. Right,
this is like Ghostbusters,
it is
right?
Ghostbusters.
But, I've seen that one.
Yeah. but she is the gatekeeper and she has to tell the other people no. And there's only one true man that is allowed to have the key, and he's in Australia scuba diving
oh,
right now.
Yeah.
Right. And
Daniel.
You can't give the illusion to other people that they can have the key. You have to give the, you know, be very, very firm. You are friendly. And as far as that guy Drew, I know you're only 14, but just for people listening now, if somebody says something and makes you uncomfortable, you can just very politely and calmly say, you know, I answer questions, but I don't answer personal ones. It's very simple.
Ah.
It's very easy. And you're not being rude to somebody. Yes, write that down. She's getting out of daytime. She's getting out of daytime and she's writing it down. Yeah. You do not have to be rude and you don't have to be mean because it can just rile somebody else up, especially if they're a little bit weird. You can politely say something and calmly say something to show them that, one, you know what you're talking about and that you're not going to back down, and two, you can't go there with me.
Yeah.
I like that. I am going to write that
yeah,
down.
She's getting her book out.
And 99%
underneath the phone number of the guy whose crotch I drooled in.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's a start. It's a start.
All right. Well, we're almost at the end of the show, Candace. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and give plugs to your show, to your book, a website?
Sure. Yeah. Please listen to Doug Stewart and I on Hottie Help. It's here every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time. You can listen to the podcasts again at latalkradio.com in the archive section. And also, we have a Hottie Help Facebook.
It's a group.
It's a Hottie Help group, which you can look under Hottie Help on Facebook and find us. Please join. And we also have a MySpace.
Even though no one's there anymore.
I know. / Hottie Help. Nobody goes to MySpace apparently anymore. We have pictures every week of our charity events that
Flickr.
We do at Flickr and SnapMyLife.com.
SnapMyLife.com.
And,
which is who's the parent company on SnapMyLife.com?
Oh,
is
the
it?
iPhone.
It's the iPhone.
iPhone. And then also, if you have any questions regarding safety that you'd like for us to answer each week, you can email LA Talk Radio. Radio on the general email. I think it's info at LA Talk Radio.
Or you can drive up to Candace's house, and the address is...
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah, and here's the phone number.
And then you will be able to, and we will answer them the following week on Sunday in the afternoon on the show. So please.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Okay, so the Hottie Handbook is the book, right?
Yes, Hottie Handbook. When is that coming out? Safety is going to be out in 6 months this year.
Oh, okay.
And what it is, it's basically it's a self-help primer for young women to teach them just the basics of safety, and hopefully it's fun, and hopefully it's interesting, and it's you know, safety is not boring. So we made it in a way that people would enjoy it.
Right.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
It sounds like I need a copy of that.
Seriously, you should have it as your tattoo. You should like totally tattoo this book.
Yeah,
on
you really should. You
okay,
know?
We gotta go. I've gotta go tweeze my vagina.
All right, so we have
Thank
Doug and we
so
have
much
Candace.
For coming in.
Thank you
so much,
guys. We had such a great time.
Yeah, I hope you learned something, Susie, out of all this.
I did. You know?
She wrote something down.
Okay. It's in my journal.
That's true.
So she knows what to say now next time somebody comes and she
I will answer questions but not personal ones.
Right. Okay. You get drunk there with somebody and you end up with your face in their crotch, you know what to say.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to talk.
You're like, yeah.
And the drool and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Susie should know. Anyway, thank you for joining us today and we'll be back tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.